Today's scripture reading is from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let us pray. This is the reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the week where Revelation starts to get a little bit weird. In the first half of chapter 7, we learn that four angels are responsible for holding back the collapse of the world. They restrain the winds that threaten to destroy the earth. One of the angels is carrying with him the seal of the living God, and he announces that a great multitude, 144,000 people, are worshiping the Lamb, Jesus. The multitude will remain faithful to the Lamb forever and ever. They fall on their faces in worship. But who is included in this multitude? John says, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I've always found this to be a weird image. How does a robe that has been washed in blood come out white? As somebody who frequently but accidentally washes red shirts and white shirts, I know that the red shirt will stay red, but the white shirt is going to turn pink. Here's where it's helpful to remember that Revelation is ultimately a book about Jesus, the Lamb of God, but also about Jesus's work in creation. The multitudes are those who actively work to seek and serve Jesus. They don't sit around waiting for him to serve them. They work with him to uncover what God is up to in the world and where they can help. We call discovering where they can help discerning their vocation, figuring out what they are to do given who God created them to be. Here is where we run into a little bit of trouble in the text. So this multitude, having done what they were supposed to do, having discovered what they are to do given who God created them to be, why are they experiencing trials and tribulations? I know that some of us have heard or interpreted, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, to mean that suffering is a necessary part of joining the multitude. I really want to caution us against this reading, because this reading goes against who God reveals himself to be to us in Revelation. I'm just going to keep saying this until I'm blue in the face, but the purpose of Revelation is to point towards the hope that we have in Jesus. Sure, creation may be disintegrating all around us. Yes, God is angry with those who have defiled his creation. But Revelation ultimately points to God's victory over all the forces that threaten to destroy his creation. I take this to mean that God isn't somebody who's intentionally causing suffering, but that suffering is going to happen until the Lamb returns to wash away every tear. So the good news of this text is twofold. Number one, God is going to be victorious. And number two, we have an active role to play in the unfolding of that creation. John tells us that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. As I was reflecting on this passage this week, I thought about moments in my life where I've wiped away someone's tears. It's quite a vulnerable thing to do. It's a way of saying, I see that you're hurting. Seeing you hurting hurts me, and I want to work with you to make you feel better. This is what Jesus is saying to the multitude that have been through the great tribulation. I see you. I see your pain. Your pain is real and it's important to me. Come to me and I will give you peace because I am in control over creation. Because God is in control over creation, this actually gives us great freedom to participate in the unfolding of this new creation. I think we are living at a unique moment in history where we're actually watching a new creation unfold all around us. One of the blessings of this strange time that we're living in is that it's making it very clear to us all that which is not really working in our society. Here are just a few examples that I pulled from the news this week. Underlying the debate over whether and how to send our kids back to school in the fall is an uncovering of a real childcare crisis in America. Now, this crisis is not new. It's been going on at least as long as I have been alive. But I think we're finally starting to see that it's just not sustainable to expect our school districts to be solely responsible for preparing our young people for all of the responsibilities of citizenship. Underlying the debate over whether or not to extend unemployment benefits past the end of the month is an uncovering of vast economic disparities that exist in America. As a professional who mostly rode out the pandemic working from home, I didn't really realize that most of our essential workers are making at or just above minimum wage. Because they don't earn much, many of them rely on public services, the services that are the first thing that is cut during an economic recession. Underlying the debate that our country is having over whether or not to wear a mask in public is a real uncovering of the limits of individual liberty. We Americans just aren't great at seeing how our individual actions impact our neighborhoods, our states, even our country. I think think masks make us uncomfortable because they make visible the threat of an invisible virus. But they can also be a sign of encouragement, a sign that all of us are working together to curb the virus's spread. Having received this reality check, this revelation, we are now able to rise to the challenge of creating a world more in line with the Lamb's vision for the kingdom of God. Like the multitude, we simply can't go back to the way that things were before. We've seen too much. We can, however, use the multitude of gifts and talents that already exist in our communities to build a better future for ourselves and our families. We have a daunting task set before us. When I am faced with a daunting task, I like to start with a pen and paper and reflect on it a bit. This week, I've been reflecting a lot about what are things that I know how to do so well I can teach them to someone else, and who can I teach these things to? When I started this list, the only thing that I could come up with was that I can teach someone else how to make scrambled eggs. And as I was sitting there and thinking about it, I'm like, well, this is dumb. Like, who needs to know how to make scrambled eggs? But then the more that I thought about it, I thought about, like, actually, people need to know how to cook. And scrambled eggs is a relatively easy way to start if you're thinking about cooking for yourself. So the next thing that I thought about is, well, who wants to learn how to cook from me, like an amateur of amateurs? And then I thought about, well, hey, like I'm going to be with my family over the next 2 weeks. Maybe cooking is something that we can do together as we are trying to keep our distance from other people. And maybe in the process, I can learn some things about my family history and learn, you know, how to pass these different recipes on to my cousins that are younger than me. Now, I know scrambled eggs may be a weird example. I trust that you all have actual gifts and talents that you can share with other people. But never doubt that God is going to use your weird gifts in the unfolding of God's new creation. I trust that the God who named you, who claims you in your baptism, and who sends you out into the world with a plan and with a purpose, will use you in whatever our new normal becomes. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.